I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
State Senator Jim Abler is going to join us in a matter of moments. We've had Chris Sears on this show a number of times. He is one of the best journalists in this state. He wrote about this, and Chris was also part of some excellent work by the Tribune, which drew a lot of attention. In a rare show of unity, state legislators and disability rights advocates are gearing up for a major push to reform Minnesota's $3 billion assistance program for people with disabilities and break down decades-old barriers to inclusion and independence. I will admit that I'm drawn to this a little bit more than maybe some others, but we all should be drawn to it because of my youngest son and the challenges that Quentin faces. He's now 18. We've been going through this process for a long while. We've watched other people because of my job. I read about this a lot. And the number of individuals, I think a lot of people don't understand how many people are affected by this. And that the system we have right now, it's like everybody agrees it's not working right and it can work better. But what is better and how do we get there? So the state senator is with us. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your help. I'm glad you're very involved in this process. Why do you think this is the time to make sizable changes?
Actually, any day would be a good day to make sizable changes.
I'm with you.
And kudos to Chris Sears. You know, you and the other media folks get hit by folks for whatever reasons. But without you and Mr. Sears and others, people would not know what's going on, and we would just be in a really hard place to try to get something done. This has been an ongoing challenge for a good long time. And Minnesota has a strong respect for people with disabilities, but we have to put, it has to work better.
Yes.
Some 100,000 people or so have some kind of disability that we help. And it's actually not 3 billion. It's probably four or five times that much with all the programs that we put forward. It's really, really important. It touches so many lives.
That's it. The State Center, by the way, is on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. I know you'd like to make a number of changes, but you know this better than me. Coming together in this hyper-partisan time isn't easy. Is this an issue that, yes, on principle, people within parties are going to have differences, people across party lines are going to have differences, but are you fairly convinced that there's going to be enough uniformity that at some point in this upcoming session, it's going to be a little bit smaller than normal just because it's an election year, that something will get done?
I think this might be one of the few areas that we can actually get something done. And surprisingly, there's not a big partisan divide on this, on the whole healthcare thing and taxes and so many other foreign policy. People are just at each other's throats about what to do. And I'm not real optimistic about a lot of stuff happening either here or in Washington on that, but on this part, it's really more the advocates and a handful of legislators pushing their way through a well-meaning bureaucracy that is just kind of stuck in their ways. And so if there's an enemy, it's just the status quo being run by people who really mean well. But I've been working on this for over 20 years, and it's plotting. And between the feds that have to approve everything, and timid staffers at the state, and actually some families that don't want their child, their young person to be at risk. But we have a long ways to go, and it really is time. And Mr. Sears was correct in everything he said.
Yeah, Chris Sears deserves the credit for this. He's done a great job. The sad thing is, sir, and I'm so glad you're involved, that this issue I don't think receives enough of the spotlight because enough of the parents don't speak out, and a lot of the kids, because of their intellectual challenges, some of them can't speak out. There are a lot of issues we're drawn to when we see and we hear. We just haven't heard enough, and there are more and more people speaking out, so I'm glad for that. Bravo to the individuals and the parents and the guardians who are speaking out. So if you could start with your top change to to give folks a better opportunity to live the best possible life, what's your number one area?
Vision for independence. We're having a hearing on that next Wednesday, and that's going to be our highlight. And it's in Minnesota, I don't think we have a clear focus of where we want to go as a administration. And it's really complicated. A handful of legislators jump into it. There really is no politics in this compared to healthcare, which people think they understand and have opinions about. This is kind of the silent problem of Minnesota.
Yep.
And
you're
the
right.
Families are just up to their necks if they're trying That's to it. Care for their child, and they just don't even know what to do. It's so complicated. There's so much oversight with the counties and the state and the feds pushing, their ideas. But there is a move to independence, and I think it's high time Minnesota put that as one of the marquee points. Not all people can be independent, but they can be maybe more independent or at least have the choices that they want compared to trapping them in a group home or something.
Well, so let's
40 years ago, go ahead.
Let's just expand on that, right? Because when people hear independence, they think, sure, like who doesn't envision that you have a child, you have these great years with your child, and then he or she moves on, whether it's a job, whether it's education. So many kids face physical and intellectual challenges that transition isn't how a lot of people envision. And then it's, what can I do? How can the state help? So when you're saying independence, explain that for the individuals who can't quite be completely on their own. How do we give them even the opportunity to feel more of that independent feeling?
Well, think about it maybe as three groups just off the top of my head. So there's some people that have challenges but truly can be independent. They can get an apartment, they get a little bit of help, and they can do all right. There are people who really need to be in a 24/7 facility. And then there's a bunch of others who could actually, if they were encouraged, might try something. So the default option in Minnesota right now is go to a group home. Get out of your personal home, move to a group home.
Yep.
And a number of agencies, nonprofits in particular, and I love the nonprofits, they're all committed to trying to help these individuals live well, have tried to work with getting more independence, getting apartments set up, and with some technology, which is getting better all the time. And they get stymied by red tape. And some have actually given up, which actually sets us back. And so, people think we're all powerful as senators and legislators, and actually it has to all be a collaborative thing. I can have a little small mini bully pulpit. You have a bigger one. And that's what I'm using at this time is the vision for independence and pushing in a fresh way. Senator Hoffman and I are doing this is working very well together. He's got a lot of experience. And if sometimes people talk and we sort out policy and it works, this has got to be one of those.
State Senator Jim Abler is with us. He's on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. We're talking about disability rights and changes. When you look around at some of our neighboring states and what they're doing better than us, give me something that you could take from Wisconsin, from an Illinois, from an Iowa, that you think that the families affected by it, the individuals affected by it, and the legislators, if they saw this and saw how it was working, they would say, let's incorporate that in Minnesota.
I think the first thing is the attitude. And I think if we could take, if we would, okay, you have some challenges of whatever sort. We think you should, we're going to encourage you to live independently. Oh, you can't. Well, then we're going to find something else. But right now, we're going to encourage you to live in a group home. And, well, do you think you want to try to go out there? That alone, that attitude difference where the default setting is, you're going to be on your own with assistance or whatever, that would change everything, whether it's in the workforce, whether it's in housing, whether it's educational options, because then more people would go into the door of going out in some way.
Yeah.
And we've been pushing for different parts of the waiver program to help people be trained, maybe try to get a job. Some people are never going to get, a job as what you think of it being one, but many can.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some tremendous employers that that want to give people a chance. And so even in the workforce side, You know, you have to, when you are working, there's these places that serve people. They go there every day and they do some work there, the day training and rehabilitation places. And so we're working toward moving people out of there into regular employment settings.
And jobs, jobs where, if I can just jump in, now the young adults are actually productive, where they're doing something where they feel better about themselves and the business feels better, because for too long, what has happened with some of these businesses is, oh, yeah, we'll take in a few kids or young adults, and they're really not doing anything. But it's just like it's a break for mom and or dad to go work. Well, we got to, because I see two or three businesses near where I live where they've allowed young adults with kids with some challenges be a part of their business, and they need a little more supervision, but they're there and they're productive, and how people react to them. And it's great to see. And that's where you nailed it, sir. That attitude, that willingness, that openness is so important, just to remind people about the decency and the opportunities they would want for these folks if it was their daughter and their son or their friend.
Absolutely. And the bureaucracy, which is an overused word, but the bureaucracy and the systems make it very hard. And so we keep, it's like it's on a rubber band. Like it moves out and then it snaps back to the status quo. And we have a county-run, state, you know, organized system. And so some counties are really good. And Mr. Sears' report found that some counties are amazing and some are just really lagging and even finding ways to serve. And I think that there's two parts of the education of our change is get the department to go like, no, the first choice is independent. Everybody's going to be pushed to the independent door. And to the families, we're going to tell them the first move is to push them to independence. That's how we're doing it now. And certainly with all kinds of safety nets and caveats. But I think we'll see 20% more going out on their own, which would be amazing.
Oh, that would be remarkable. If it was half, it would be remarkable.
By the way, it takes less staff and it's more affordable.
Yeah.
It's a better life. Why would we not do this?
Way better life.
It's time.
Last thing, DHS has earned criticism. They have earned an investigation from the legislators like yourself, citizens, the media. You know, there's a lot of talk about breaking up DHS, a lot of areas where DHS is screwed up. Is this a way where DHS has been a large impediment?
Yes, well, they have, and it's not related to their size. It's related to attitudes. And so the DHS sets the policy. Ironically, DHS sets policy, it oversees their implementation of policy, and then they actually do services. And so if there's a problem there, they have to investigate themselves, even fine themselves twice. I don't know where the money went when they paid the fine. But this is really a matter of one element of the disability services part of DHS, where we have a new commissioner, Jody Harpstead. She's got a new crew in there. I'm very optimistic that with her understanding from Luke and Social Services of some of the challenges and the LSS's own innovations and independence, that this is the right time. We have the right commissioner. It's the right time. We got the right bipartisan effort. This actually could see great strides this session. I'm optimistic about that.
People
keep talking about it.
Yes, people should keep talking about it. I hope your optimism comes to fruition. Keep us in the loop. I'll keep following this. And the State Senator, thanks for coming on.
Yeah. God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you. State Senator Jim Abler.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.